lion face, lemon face, lion face, lemon face.
Welcome to episode 4 of Defenders of the Mirth. I had enough of this massively affected Astro Boy title pun. I'm your host, Johnny Kelly, Intertree Johnny Kelly, and my co-host,
Above Average JJM Story.
Welcome to the Defenders of the Mirth podcast!
Bang!
So, lion face.
That's why. Why did I go to lemon face there? Right. I suppose it's about time to have a quick discussion. Basically, what we're going to cover this week is we're going to cover the iPad, our very, very, probably overly in-depth review of Astro Boy.
Oh, damn. Well, you know, you got to be overly in-depth.
And we got to talk a bit about Mass Effect 2, saying it has taken up probably about 54 hours of my life this week.
And none of my life. So we won't be going in that depth because we didn't experience that together.
Well, I can't talk too much about it. You know, because, you know, I don't want to spoil it for people that, you know, haven't played it yet.
Oh, you don't want to spoil things?
I don't want
to spoil
things.
That's a new kick. Anyway.
Well, I don't want to spoil it before, and then people get curious about my knowledge, and then, you know, you try to tell them you shouldn't tell them about the future, but they just kind of keep shipping away.
People love the future.
They do.
Anyway, and the future is Apple.
The future is, I've seen it. It looks like a picture frame you touch and shit happens when you touch it.
It's a 9.7-inch piece of shit. No, sorry.
Steve Jobs is not a happy man right now. He feels that.
He feels it, does he?
He feels every it. Time. He feels every time someone insults an Apple. That's why he was so sick.
Oh, right. So he had the cancer and liver problems because people called his product shit. And,
It was hate cancer.
Jesus. It's our fault.
That's where they cured him with a love IV.
The love IV from the dead drunken motorcyclist.
that's what it was. He was an Apple fan, damn it.
He just died 4 jobs.
Yeah.
Not a job.
That's what it was. It's all a hot cover story. It's, you know, basically he went into Steve Jobs' hotel room and then beat himself to death with his MacBook. And, you know, and then with an explicit note on some sort of Mac.
Well, how did the motorcycle get involved?
The motorcycle was just a lie. That's how he got to the hospital.
All right. Okay.
There's a story there. No. There's a story.
Well, we'll uncover it, I'm sure. We've got the technology.
Will we?
No.
Or we
no.
just keep making it up.
But instead, we'll just talk about what the actual iPad was. It came out. It's 9.7 inches. It's not a piece of shit. Well, it might be. We haven't seen it yet. But, well, we've seen it in pictures.
Lots of pictures.
Lots of pictures and lots of video.
Don't you know shit when you see it, Jordan?
That sounded like cosmic stress.
It did. He just jumped in there.
He seems to have some sort of holographic projection machine.
He did. Wait, sorry.
Ah, yes, you're fiddling with his nose there.
Yeah, there we go.
Tickle, you know.
Does it really?
Feedback? What did I tickle?
Feedback.
Tactile.
Is it a hard light hologram?
No.
Are you sure it's not a hard light hologram? Sorry, it was for those who aren't watching, which is everyone, James was just a moment ago fiddling with the holographic projection of Ben's private parts.
Yes, indeed.
Hard light.
Staticky.
I'm just going to switch off for a minute here.
Okay. We'll bring him back. But, yes, so the device itself is 9.7 inches. That's the third time I've said that, probably because I'm quite obsessed with things that are around 9 inches.
Surprisingly, it actually just looks like a really big iPhone.
It is a really big... Well, not an iPhone. There's no phone. A big iPod Touch.
And everyone's like, oh, it's just going to look like a big iPod Touch. And you know what? It did, and it still looks awesome.
Well, maybe. There's a couple of things that I don't like. 9.7 inches is 9.7 inches because of the resolution of the screen. The resolution is going to be 1024x768, which is the old-style monitor resolutions. It's not a proper HD resolution. We have got HD in all TVs now. It's 1280x720 at the lowest end, and it doesn't do it. Why? Pretty much all media going forward, all video going forward will be at the minimum 1280x720 because it's going to be pervasive.
No, I've got an explanation for this, okay?
Oh, the black borders, no. Do you like black
Steve
borders?
Jobs, surrounded by all his followers, he goes into the mountain, converses with the burning bush, and brings down a stone tablet with the exact specifications of the most perfect modern device.
Was it a 9.7-inch stone tablet?
And gives it the words to people. It was.
It was a 9.7-inch stone tablet.
And it was just beautiful, man.
What happened then?
Oh, he's back.
And then he created it. and now he's going to gift it to the world.
He dropped it, that's what he did.
He did not drop
it. He dropped it,
didn't we? Watched that presentation, he didn't drop it.
Okay.
Look, the man overcame cancer, give him a break.
Alright, alright.
Okay?
Alright.
Also, another complaint I have against it is the minimum price in American dollars is $499. Not Canadian dollars, not New Zealand dollars, American dollars, $499.
What about Australian dollars? Do they not deserve your love?
No.
Okay.
If Australia, terrible, terrible censorship. I don't even want to think.
Oh, God, don't even get me started.
Anyway, people, look it up yourself. Just Google Australia censorship. Left 4 Dead 2, there's a good example.
Yeah. They don't like violence at all.
No.
I'm surprised they just were tickling the zombies over, but feller.
But yes, $499 for the base model. That's with Wi-Fi, without 3G, without GPS. They charge an extra $120 or $130. I can't remember dollars.
$130. $130. Yes, I've got that implanted in my head.
Is that because you want to buy one? With
no, it's because I recognise that the fact that it makes it to the UK, that will $130 will have made the very, very radical transfer to £130.
Yes, it will. And I'm as it work, often does with Apple.
Yeah, I'm trying to work out how much I'm going to have to spend on this wonder device.
Probably with top of the range, full 64GB model with the 3G and the GPS, probably around £830.
Yeah. I wasn't going to go for the GPS model originally, and then Johnny just kept saying, you can do stuff with the maps. And
yeah. Well, I mean, picture yourself on a boat in a river, and you're standing
That's common.
You're standing around this deck of the boat, and there's people, and they want to know, like, what's that creature coming towards us about to kill us? And you go, well, I'll just look it up on my iPad, but you've bought the one with just Wi-Fi, and there's no Wi-Fi on board the boat. So now you can't look up what this creature is, and you can't save the people as a result. Are you a defender or are you not, James?
Defender, yes. Super rich, no.
3G and GPS for the win.
Yeah, you will know that I'm probably going to buckle on that. And yes, it's going to be a 3G version.
But yeah, but why does it have to be an extra $130/pounds? Why?
Because it's...
How much does a GPS unit cost? How much does a 3G device cost? I mean, you could buy a 3G phone, just very basic 3G phone, for about, what, £30? And you could buy a GPS Bluetooth module for, what?
Listen here, Captain Negative. It just looks super, okay?
Okay, it looks super, but it won't look super whenever you're trying to browse Flash animation websites.
Well, Flash doesn't really bother me. I'm just thinking about the things that I would do with a netbook and how that improves them. Basic websites.
It's not a netbook, James.
Well, it's pretty much a netbook. It's a netbook. Rip off the keyboard and make the screen touchable.
And make it twice as expensive and not as useful.
What do you think? Look, I can just imagine reading stuff on it. Like, I'm a comic book guy. A lot of the comic books I get are now in the digital format.
And I find a way to read. I said in our last episode, 3.5, that I have difficulty trying to get it formatted from a netbook screen, the comics that you gave me. I've managed to work that out, mainly with your help. But it does look very good.
Yeah.
You've tried it yourself.
Oh, yeah, it looks very good, but I can just imagine it just being a little tablet on my knee.
The keyboard being in the way is a bit of a nuisance, but at the same time, it does have every... I mean, my netbook, which I'm looking at right now, has a 10.1-inch screen. It's not to be, you know, sizes, but it is bigger.
Oh, no, but at the same time, you showed me a comic book reader application for the iPhone.
Yes.
And I can just imagine that on, like, an iPad, converted and different and updated.
Well, they are.
And that would be much better than the way that I'm currently reading it now.
This is true. But still, the resolution bothers me. There's no high-definition video content unless you want big black bars at the top and bottom, which reduces your overall viewing and just annoys me. So no Flash. You don't mind no Flash.
I can live without Flash.
You can live without
Flash. I can live without Flash.
Are there any sites that you go to on a daily basis that don't work without Flash?
I can't think. Well, see, it's a bit catch-22. Yes, there are sites. BBC iPlayer, but then again, at the same time, there will be a BBC iPlayer app.
There isn't one at the moment.
There isn't one, but I'm sure there will be.
Mm.
There's an app for everything else.
6.5%.
I can find a game out within 20 metres of myself.
6.5% of the BBC's budget goes to salaries. How much of it will go to a BBC iPlayer app?
But there's a BBC iPlayer app for the Wii. I couldn't imagine why there's not one for the phone yet.
Maybe Apple won't allow it because it, you know, uses 3G.
But there's the Sky app.
There's a Sky app?
Yeah, the Sky News app you showed me. Where
no, the Sky, but that's articles. They're okay, there is video over it. Yeah, but the thing about Apple is they're not consistent. They're not consistent. They will allow things and disallow things. They are in full control over everything. They control your experience and control your life. No multitasking in the iPad. You're telling me that you only want to do one thing at a time.
All right, yes. I would like to read comic and listen to the music at the same time.
You could do that, as long as it was music in the iPod application itself. But if you, say, wanted to run Spotify...
Yeah, which I probably would do.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to do that.
And I like Spotify.
Spotify's very good.
Yeah, so I'd like to do that.
Mm.
It's probably, actually, if I could do that on the iPod, I would probably become a full Spotify subscriber.
Mm.
And that's I don't blame Spotify for that. Of course, I blame Apple for that, but... I believe at some stage they will take some of the complaints on board. But at the same time, it doesn't do any more... You know, it basically does everything that I would want my netbook to do. And it makes it very, very natural experience.
One of the things you'd like a netbook to do would probably be to transfer photographs from a camera that you have very easily. Like, you'd be able to take out your SD card.
What I told Ben and I told Paul yesterday, I can count the times on my knob that I've used iPhoto.
iPhoto. So it's one or less.
Yeah.
Unless you have a very strange...
Yeah, I should have said foreskin because I don't even have that.
Nah.
But no.
It seems to be a recurring joke of our show.
I'm just not a photograph, man. I'm really not.
Especially not for that.
Especially not for that.
No.
No.
Okay. So
but movies, music, web surfing, comic books, probably some sort of... Like the iBook stuff. The iBook store seems like a really awesome idea.
Okay, but then you've got the fatigue of the backlight. It's LED, which reduces some of that, but still, it will tire your eyes. But you don't mind.
No. But it just seems to do everything I want to do. And even the games itself look pretty cool.
Mm.
Like they showed Need for Speed Shift, and it just looked pretty good.
Yeah, but whenever you blow it up, I mean, its original size is the original iPhone iPod Touch size. Whenever you blow it up, it's four times the pixels, and it's just very blocky.
But that was a demonstration of two things. That was a demonstration of the ability to play games,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that it's backwards compatible with every app that's on the iPhone.
But in a very crappy way.
Yeah. Yeah, all right.
But no camera?
No camera. Well, not a photographer.
Not a photographer. Mm. Neither am I, really. I do have a nice camera.
Yeah, that's it. Well, that was always my point about cameras on devices. If you're really that interested in taking photographs, go buy a digital SLR. Do not depend on the... If you're really that bothered about cameras, buy a device that takes pictures. Their main job is to take pictures.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. That one I don't really have any argument against. Camera, no camera. Take it or leave it.
Yeah. Camera doesn't bother me.
So you're going to buy one?
I am.
And it's going to be the most expensive one?
Probably.
And it's going to be 3G and GPS.
I don't see the point of going any less than 64 gig.
Mm.
I really don't.
Are you really going to fill it up with that much stuff?
I have 8 gigs of music.
Do you think they will do the TV subscription? I don't know if you've heard of this, but they were talking about doing... subscribe to a specific... television network, and you'd be able to get all the shows from that network for a price.
I saw that. That looks actually really cool. And I saw the additional things, like when watching sports shows, they showed it off playing a baseball game, or there's interactive bits of the screen. You can bring up stats and move them about the screen.
Because we watch baseball all the time.
I don't watch fucking baseball. Don't even start that rumor. But I can see it being really cool for other things that I watch.
Mm.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Like porn. Interactive little devices, screens.
No, but I'm not.
Oh, you could zoom in with your, multi-touch.
No, but just imagine.
Multi-touch porn.
Just imagine.
As it often is. Sorry.
Yeah, that would be good. You can zoom in and zoom out and,
Just in.
Jessica Chobot.
And in.
But,
And out. Add a bit of the old in and out. Anyway, yes, I don't watch porn. I've said it before. It is true, and that's probably why I'm making all these gifs. If that makes any sense.
Jokes are fine. I'm an avid porn watcher and tell everybody every time, all the time.
It's just you, first thing you do is like, hello, I'm above average Jay. I'm above average because I watch a lot of porn.
Yes, the above average.
Above average above
about
average.
The porn. And above average about the porn.
That's where it came from, really.
My masturbation quota is literally much above came the from. Average. That's Sorry. What it was. Not above average penis size. That's not true. I'm not even going to... Oh.
We've done this. Let's not rehash your penis.
I know. Such a good topic, though. Anyway, right.
Next topic. Mass Effect? Mass Effect 2.
Oh.
The Mako's gone.
Actually, no. I regret the loss of the Mako. What they replaced it with is not nearly as fulfilling.
What do they do?
Basically, you scan planets and you probe it for minerals.
Oh, right.
And occasionally a mission pops up, but you seem to get more missions.
Sorry, it's just very Indian-donic to me.
Yeah, you seem to get more missions in the old system. I think the blossom. No, I wasn't saying get rid of the idea of exploring planets. I loved that idea.
Mm-hmm.
I said get rid of the Mako. Mm. They could have replaced it with anything else.
Just another.
A better handle vehicle, the Mako 2, just to see with better handling and the turret.
And being able to shoot down.
Shoot down. It's the future, damn it. I think they could overcome the shoot down thing.
Mm.
But.
That's the trouble with having a barrel over 9.7 inches. You just can't shoot down.
You looked into the science of this. You did.
I did. If anybody is interested, they can go back to the show notes of the episode, and we can see a history of the gun turrets of tanks. Don't know if it really translates into Mass Effect lore, but, you know, it's an interesting article.
Yeah. But at the same time, combat's better. Storyline. I imported my Shepherd. There he was.
Oh, you had a bit of a difficulty.
I did have a bit of a difficulty. It didn't let me import all my Shepherds. It let me in access to one. I had to go back and recomplete the game with my second Shepherd.
You had a few lost sheep.
I did. Mm. Yes. I did do my lack of Shepherds. But eventually I got it all working. Played through the game. It's been finished. It is awesome. I'm not going to give anything away, contrary to what I usually do.
I think you can say one sentence, though. Two words.
Well... pains me to say, the developers told you couldn't do it, the game told you couldn't do it, other people told you couldn't do it, everybody lived in my game.
Woohoo!
Woo! Not a single person died, everybody survived. Yeah.
It makes you feel very proud of your
game. I did. I sort of rubbed it in some people's faces.
I saw.
it was nice.
Yes.
Plus, a surprising amount of achievements I got in the first playthrough.
Really?
I'm only back in, like, six.
Did you get any sort of, carnal achievement?
I did.
You were interested in the perfectly genetic woman?
I changed my mind. I wanted to see behind Tally's mask.
Did you get to do that?
That's a spoiler. You don't tell that.
Okay.
I can't spoil that for the good players at home.
Okay. Well, look forward to possibly seeing behind the mask.
Of Tally?
Yes, and I have to make a correction right here about Mass Effect 2, which is that I was completely wrong in the thing I brought up twice, which was the new method of making conversation. You didn't do it by saying what emotional response you were going to have. It did give you the option to interrupt, but only occasionally. What it did instead was give you a gist of the direction you were going to talk.
Yeah, basically.
Which is not...
quite the same. And doesn't necessarily work as well.
Really?
Yeah.
What happened?
Nope. It's just, it gives you the gist it's going to talk, and then it comes out when he says it, in his own words, it comes out in a different tone than you imagined in your head. And I know that's not something that's going to be perfect every time, but, you know, it's very hard. I have an idea of how I would respond to a situation. But at the same time, by this stage, you should know the sort of characterization of your character, and you should have a rough idea. You know someone
like that. If you're going to be that person, you need to know what they're going to say. Yeah. You know, it's like wanting to say something and then saying something completely different without any control.
But that is a minor quibble in a game that was absolutely excellent. It was artistically brilliant, storyline, the gameplay is much more improved. As I said, the combat is excellent now. It used to have a couple of problems, but it's just, you just feel super powerful walking into any situation. You do die not quite a bit, but I died a couple of times more than I did in the
But I thought everybody lived.
Well,
everybody but you.
If the character that general run through,
right?
I died, but the ending, the story ending I got was the peak. It was like the super happy Ultimo, everybody lives, let's all hold hands and be brilliant ending.
I'll tell you what, let's bring in our consult for the evening. Let's bring back Cosmic Stresshead Ben and bleep! Sorry, a bit of a problem with the transition there. But Ben, Cosmic Stresshead Ben of CosmicStresshead.com and the recent comic Borg Week. Which he's in the middle of doing, is that right?
Yes, I've failed in my mission to bring in the second one. Because I forgot.
Oh, well, forgetting is something that is natural to all of humankind.
It's a human thing.
Yes.
It's a human thing when you haven't been assimilated. Wouldn't have happened under the Borg.
It wouldn't have happened under the Borg.
No.
But I tell you what, the reason we're bringing you back is you've just started recently playing Mass Effect 1, is that right?
Yes, I have. Not very far into it, but I'm enjoying it.
What's your overall impression?
Ooh, it's nice.
It's nice?
I know there are certain games that might be quite similar to it. Like,
come closer. Come closer.
Come closer.
Go away, that's too close! Alright, anyway. So... What were you saying?
Yes, and it's apparently very similar to Knights of the Old Republic.
Mm.
Maybe the same people. I didn't like Knights of the Old Republic at all. But I'm really enjoying this, and I don't know whether it's because I've calmed down over the past few years.
So you
have forgiven
as cosmic a stress head as you were before?
Well, it's because...
I think the stress has just shifted to a different part of...
It's a different
part of the cranium.
No, yeah. Well, I would argue that Knights of the Old Republic, instead of having the Mako, it had probably something which was worse than the Mako, and that was quite a lot of walking.
Yes, that is something I wasn't expecting, because I didn't witness it when you were playing Mass Effect 2.
Yeah.
And I knew there was a Mako and everything. I was expecting most of the traversing of terrain on a planet to be done in a vehicle. And it's just not... Mass Effect. There was...
Oh, poor stress head Ben has got mixed up.
I've got mixed up. Right, yes. No, there's a lot of walking in the first game.
In Mass Effect?
Yes.
He was saying there was a lot of walking in Knights of the Old
Republic. Oh, there's even more walking in Knights of the Old Republic.
Oh, yeah, no, I didn't even get to the point where that was my worst concern, but I did notice that and I hated it. Getting lost in ships and... Just everything about that game annoyed me. It was slightly turn-based as well, in the combat.
Yeah.
That bugged me.
I think the combat's a lot smoother now in Mass Effect.
Yeah, you're looking forward... sorry to interject. Intertree interjects, but... you're looking forward to Final Fantasy...
13
coming out soon. Is that still turn-based?
It's a lot less. There's a bit more of the combat of the combat system of Final Fantasy 12, which is a bit more like... It's sort of... It's not necessarily turn-based, although there is timing bars in it.
Timing bars?
Well, basically, there's a bar of time, and characters will do their action at the end. You know, once the bar hits.
So you can queue up what you're going to do.
So you can queue up what you're going to do. Yeah. You know, there is abilities in it, haste and things like that, that make you go faster.
Haste?
Yes, haste!
Relax. Indeed.
But But it's not even the combat or even the game itself. You play Final Fantasy IV, it's the amazing stories they tell, and the imagery is just so beautiful. Even the music in it.
Do you think Mass Effect 2 held a candle to that?
Mass Effect beats Final Fantasy as a whole experience.
As
an overall experience. The story is excellent. The characterizations are excellent. Music, excellent. Gameplay, excellent. Excellent. Final Fantasy, the gameplay itself, has never been my favourite point.
Subpar?
Not subpar.
Just reasonable?
It's reasonable. You never feel... You always feel on the back foot in Final Fantasy, or at least I always felt. I never felt... Going into any boss battle, I never felt I was powerful enough. Because that was maybe because it was too open.
Mm.
And it didn't sort of baby you through it in some ways the way Mass Effect does.
Mm.
Mass Effect... gives you a whole variety of missions. You do those missions and it gives you another whole variety of missions, and as you succeed it will give you more missions and that you go on.
Is Final Fantasy more linear?
Final Fantasy will quite happily let you walk in the battles with creatures that are much more powerful.
Oh, I remember I did that actually. I spent an entire evening, I don't know how helpful it was, but it was Final Fantasy 7 on the PlayStation 2, was that?
PlayStation 1.
Final Fantasy 8 then, was that PlayStation 2?
No, the first one was Final Fantasy... It was in Final Fantasy 10.
Alright, well then it must have
the
been...
The one with
Sin. It must have been PlayStation 1. It was either Final Fantasy 7 or 8. But I was given the controller because I couldn't sleep. And my friend who was playing it at the time went to bed. And I just spent the entire night walking around the desert, getting into fights. And leveling up.
Oh, that can be really addictive. Mm. That can be really addictive. But Final Fantasy at the same time is a game so conclusive and so open in many ways that I don't really like recommending them, but I would recommend the Player's Guidebook.
Oh.
Like, I will, when I buy the game, will buy it as a bundle with a book, with a guidebook.
Mm. It's just too big.
There's so much stuff in it. some stuff you're not even going to think of.
Mm.
You know, and plus you need the in-game explanation of how sometimes, because the combat system can go from very similar to the last game to completely radically different. From what I've seen, it looked very similar to the last game, but there could be elements of it, the leveling up, the power trees that go down. It's so insanely complex it can be.
Mm.
That it's probably worthwhile investing in a player's guide.
Fair enough. When does Final Fantasy 13 arrive in shops?
Sometime in I think it's May.
May.
I don't have a conclusive date on that, but I think it's out in Japan already.
Ah.
But it's coming out here soon. But that's because the pure amount of language in Final Fantasy game. The rumors are, well, not rumors. It's probably are because it's out in Japan. It's probably, but I think it's about 3 or 4 DVDs.
3 or 4 DVDs.
Which is. Would be by far probably the biggest game that I've ever owned.
It would have been a good argument to put something like a Blu-ray player or a CD-DVD player inside the Xbox. No?
No, but at the same time, Blu-rays aren't at the point where they can stream the information off as quickly. One of the major criticisms of the PS3 is load times.
Oh. Unless you wouldn't want that in front of us.
No, unless you install the game onto the hard disk, you can't suffer from dreadful loading. Because it's only a 1 or 2 speed Blu-ray player.
Yeah.
Compared to, I don't know what's in the Xbox, but I'm sure it's probably about a 10-speed DVD player.
Fair enough. That was our Mass Effect 2 / other games looking forward to this year review.
It was.
Next,
Astro Boy.
Yes, we did go to see it, as we said we were going to.
And, well, I completely disagree with most of the reviews I've ever heard about. It is absolutely a spectacular gem of a film.
Mm. So what did the review say?
Empire was very critical. Mm. They said the film looked very bad. Visually it looked very bad.
Or were they just trying to be true to the original design?
Yeah, they were, but at the same time, even, I don't know where I was going at, but even the visuals themselves were very beautiful.
Mm.
Like, watching the boy fly about, I think it's probably one of the better CG films I've saw visually.
When he first discovers he can fly?
Yeah, when he first discovers he can fly and he's flying about.
That was very, very good.
Yeah.
Good humour there as well with the spray.
Like, you know, I don't think it's any... In fact, I'd say that it's probably better looking than The Incredibles.
Which I have yet to watch.
Like, The Incredibles, it is definitely much better than, you know, a lot of the earlier Pixar stuff that they still say brilliant, you know. Mm. If you go back and watch that, some of that looks dreadful. The original Toy Story is not a pretty film to look at now.
When was Toy Story made?
Oh, yeah, it was made a long time
ago. Kind of scary to think. What was it, 1990... what?
Oh, 3 maybe?
It's a long time ago anyway. People are turning 18 now. I think it was 18 years ago. Anyway, that's a bit of a...
That was an XKCD.
Yeah.
Yes, it was. That's what I'm referencing.
Scared the crap out of me, the things he listed on that comic.
Yes, I'll put a link to that comic. It was exactly what I was referencing just now. But, it's a long time since a lot of things happened. Like, you'll see the comic. There's a good humour there. But yes, back to Astro Boy. Alright, so...
We should do a general synopsis. I just spent lost in the review there. And basically, Astro Boy, the film, is about a boy.
Obviously. A boy.
His name is Toby.
Toby.
And Toby, in an unfortunate accident at an experimental war machine, passes away, should we say.
He disappears into nothingness.
But you can't have the corpse of a young boy on screen.
That's true, it is a children's
story. And eventually his father, in much grief, rebuilds him as a robot.
Yes.
And
feeds him his memories, and tries to sort of replicate his son through his guilt.
Yeah. And it basically kicks off from there. Mm-hmm. You still have an idea what the hell we're talking about, but...
Go see the film. We do recommend it, although we do have some criticisms, at least I do.
Oh, no, there are criticisms.
One of which is Nicolas Cage's performance at being Dr. Tenma. He's not very good at being distraught.
Yeah. Oh, no, there are a couple of scenes there that an experienced vocal actor probably would have been able to milk.
Mm-hmm.
Probably could have made more out of the scene. You know, as this is what you pointed out yourself, the scene where Toby disappeared.
Yeah, That would be the acting for that. When he did disappear, he's whenever he sees it happen, it's stuck behind some like bulletproof glass. He can't get to him, and then that glass lifts, and he goes and he runs into the room and he says, "Toby, Toby, where are you, Toby? It's all my fault." And it's just very emotionless.
Yeah.
It's not very well done. But later on, he makes up for it by being extremely manic whenever he's recreating his son, and just becomes very obsessed with the idea of being able to make him again as perfect as he was. And it sort of shows that he didn't appreciate him before, and that now that he knows what he's lost, he's sort of desperately seeking to get it back.
Yeah, and that's where it gets pretty deep, actually.
It gets very deep. For a children's film, I think it's an excellent thing. They go into a lot of things. They also talk about robot equality in the future.
Oh, yeah. It starts off in a joking way for the robot liberation front. But the simple fact is, the film deals with what could possibly be, and maybe are in some ways, very, very powerful arguments and very powerful things to go on about, but in humorous or action and adventure-y ways, very lighthearted, but the questions are always still there, and that's what the interviewers, or the reviewers, sorry, seem to have
missed.
You know, it's fair enough that maybe they didn't play them as deep or as dark as you wanted, but you're watching a children's movie, sir. It is designed first and foremost to be entertaining.
Yeah, but I mean, it's designed to be entertaining in a children's story, but it deals with the idea of a person, a man, trying to replace his son with a robot with its memories.
Yeah.
His son's memories. I mean, that is deep, no matter how childlike you try and make it. And
that would have scared the crap out of me as a kid. Mm. I seemed to perceive darkness in things. That's why I'm really into darkness.
You're into bleak.
Dark undertones in films.
Bleak.
Bleak.
I like bleak, John, too. You like as I said in last week's episode, we are the bleak.
Yeah, that would have kept me up at night. Because I haven't seen it, but what I've heard, it seems like it touches some really scary pits.
Oh yeah, it's insane, the questions it asks.
Yeah, and it also does the sort of the traditional, am I in the world, where is my place, for Toby, the robot, Toby Astro.
Well, by the stage, he's differentiated himself from Toby, he's realised that he's not Toby, and he's become
an Astro identity boy.
Is Astro.
Yeah, well, that isn't, Astro,
Which is, again, another way to play it. Astro didn't try to become Toby. As soon as he realised he was a separate entity, he decided to embrace.
But again, it has to deal with that issue too, with the person, a robot who is conscious of himself and believes himself to be the son of the scientist that made him, and then discovers he's not and just has these memories, has to deal with that and has to come to terms with the fact that he isn't.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
His creator's son.
And then you've got, who was very much more of a father figure, I think you came across better, the opposite.
Dr. Elephant?
Yes, played by Bill Nighy.
Yeah.
Of
Snarty Bartfast frame.
I know, but he done an absolutely...
The Tiger's Guide to the Galaxy?
Yes.
Brilliant. Anyway.
But he done an absolutely spectacular job.
I believe so too.
Yeah, you know, he usually plays cantankerous or slightly cynical people, but...
Well, he didn't in Hitchhiker's Guide.
Didn't in Hitchhiker's Guide.
I think it's probably a new sort of realm for him.
Yeah, but he just played the role so well, and he's not who I would have casted personally, but he worked beautifully as somebody that recognised, fine, it's not, you know, Tenma hasn't really recreated his boy, he's created another entity, but
that entity itself has rights.
Yeah, and feelings, and is basically a little boy.
Yeah.
Who's very afraid of losing his father.
We thought it was an excellent film.
We did.
But one thing I didn't like, again, was the use of the damn gate foley. This gate has troubled me for the last, how long have I been alive and watching films? Probably 20 years of conscious film watching. That fucking gate.
I was like the scream that they keep using. No! You know, the one scream they seem to pull out for people falling off railings.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. This, you will notice it, just after he, Astro, well, up until then he's still called Toby, just after Toby falls off the island and lands in a big pile of rubble, just after that, I think it's a fridge that opens. Maybe, I don't remember exactly what it is, but there's something that opens on the rubbish tip. that makes that gate noise that you've heard in pretty much any film you've watched.
Is it the dog bin?
Is it the dog bin? I don't know if it's the dog bin. Arr!
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 Arr! Arr!
He's a robot.
Shut up, you.
But you will hear this noise, and once I've pointed out that you've heard this noise, you will hear this noise in every film that has a gate.
Indeed. And you hate him forever for it.
Oh, yes. I can't recreate the gate, but the gate you'll hear. And it's in Quake. I think it originally appeared in Quake as the gate noise for Quake. The game Quake, that is. Quake 1 from ID Software.
Ooh. Yeah. I remember Quake. I remember struggling to play Quake.
Why did you have trouble? Was it the keyboard? Did you not be able, could you not like...
No, it was my computer. Just didn't like Quake.
Oh, I thought you couldn't independently move your fingers.
My computer had trouble running Quake as well. I had to go into DOS and start it from there. It was brilliant.
Mm. So did you do the high mem.sys in order to be able to run it? That was a long time ago.
I can't remember what I did now, but it got me into using the command line more.
Mm-hmm.
Which... just to be able to all play sorts of crazy things.
3D game.
I wrote the software for this hologram.
That's why we can turn it off.
Yeah. Good old DOS. You couldn't do that with Apple Script.
Anyway, we're
over here. Love your hologram, boy.
Yes, but we've covered everything that we wanted to cover. It's quite a short show, really.
Yeah, I remember we were looking and thought that's going to be quite a long show, but I'm actually surprised with it.
Well, I think the way we view this, I think what we're going to do is around about 40 minutes minimum.
Yeah.
Now, it's been 36 minutes 15.7 seconds at the moment.
Yeah.
And that's not 40 minutes, and we apologize for that. We could make up the last couple of minutes by improvised dance or song.
Yes. We're not going to.
We're not going
to. Actually, no, there's one more thing I'd like to talk about.
All right, okay.
And we're going to go off on one of my semi-comic book geek tangents. This week, on the WB Network, the Americans got to see the Geoff Jones scripted Absolute Justice episode of Smallville. Now, a lot of people, especially comic book enthusiasts, aren't particularly fans of Smallville. They don't, you know, basically like me, they believe that shit, Clark Kent's in his 30s now, shouldn't he be Bly Superman by now? And I would more than happy argue that, and it's true, he should be Superman by now. But they did introduce the legendary Justice Society of America into the universe. Mm. And Geoff Johns, he's just probably the best writer in comics books at the minute. Well, I would quite argue Bendis. Bendis, who writes Ultimate Spider-Man, is currently writing Marvel miniseries Siege.
You appear to be arguing with yourself.
Anyway, I would argue that Geoff Johns, brilliant, absolutely writer, has basically reinvigorated Green Lantern. That's why we're going to see a Green Lantern movie this year, basically. Because
there's
going to
be a Green Lantern movie this year?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yep, looks like it's going to be good.
Mm. His power is just being able to shine green things and turn things green, isn't it?
No, it's the power of willpower. He can... use his ring to fly in space, protect himself with green shields, and, like, create a green fist to punch something, or, you know, basically it's whatever he can imagine the ring can create.
And it's green.
And it's green.
Mm.
But that's because green's the colour of hope.
Oh.
And that's one of the things Geoff Johns had introduced. He introduced other colours, basically the spectrum with different lanterns.
Oh, wow.
Funnily enough, had never been really touched on before. The odds sort of ended throughout the years that the reason that the Green Lanterns couldn't affect yellow is because the yellow was the power of fear, but they hadn't really expanded too much on that until he started introducing the Sinestro Corps. Sinestro was a rogue Green Lantern who discovered the yellow power battery,
right,
and created his own core, and they fought. The Sinestro War was probably the best internal comic event probably in the last 5 years.
It
was pretty good. It was pretty good, and then eventually we saw the Red Lanterns and the Indigo Tribe, and the Star Sapphires turned out to be a members of the Lanterns, and the Star Sapphires have been there for about 20 or 30 years as well. And then this year he with Blackest Night, but he wrote this excellent 2-hour special, Absolute Justice, that introduces Hawkman and R-Man. Into the visual medium, characters that, you know, probably no one are very familiar with at all, and unless you probably seen a couple of episodes of Justice League Unlimited when it was on. But it's just amazing to see them live action. We had Michael Shanks, who played Daniel Jackson in SG-1, playing Hawkman.
That was a
brilliant job in it. And, you know, it was just a really good episode. I'd highly recommend anyone watch it. For more than just Smallville, it's just a good episode.
Mm.
It's very much in the frame of the other Geoff Johns penned episode where he introduced the Legion of Superheroes in Smallville. No, he couldn't introduce the Legion because the Legion are from 1,000 years into the future, and there's about 60 of them. But,
Legion?
Yeah, he introduced Lightning Lad and... And then Saturn Girl, I think it was Saturn Girl. Can't remember the episode clear enough, but a couple of characters that are very much DC fan favourites.
So have they travelled back in this episode?
They had travelled back in time.
Another stalwart.
Using the Legion ring. Another use of the Legion ring that I didn't know. I didn't realise that the Legion ring could be used for time travel. I thought it was meant to be used for flight, but that's a by the by.
These criticisms will not be heard.
You know,
but that's like everything I said against the iPad.
Well, it was a good episode. It was a wee highlight in my week that I wasn't really expecting.
Well, it's quite interesting. I mean, a lot of it flew over my head, like a superhero would. But I have been reading Invincible, and I'm into the third issue now, and I've been reading it with the proper ability to read it on a screen. I bought a comic book reader application for my iPhone, as James mentioned earlier, and I've also got the Comic Rack application for Windows, and I've been reading through them, and it's been very interesting so far.
Oh yeah, and I love the fact that you're sort of interested in it at this stage.
Yeah.
Because at the minute you can tell that it probably seems like a very generic superhero story, a very twist, but you can see
there's a few references to the others, and there's a few little in jokes about comics that I sort of get, but I'm not intrinsically with.
I know, but there's generalized archetypes in there. Yes. I think it's easy to recognize that Omni-Man is a Superman.
Yeah. I mean, they make jokes about that in the first issue.
But the brilliant thing is, you haven't got to the thing that made me realise that this is a very special comic, and that's coming up in the next 3 to 4 issues.
Well, I will look forward to it. No spoilers, please.
No, I'm not going to spoil it for you, but it's something that basically... It starts along the same line as every other superhero comic book, maybe even a bit cleverer. The dialogue's brilliant, the characterisations are brilliant, and then it takes a left.
I like a left.
It takes a left.
A left save Bond's life.
Yeah, and you don't see the left coming. You don't see the left coming at all. I just remember seeing this one splash page, which is a double page when it goes over the two pages.
Yes.
And it just blew my mind. And I've loved the comic ever since. I think it's probably the best written thing out there in comic books. Ongoing series, that is. Not the best writer. I'm not going to contradict myself.
Argue with yourself.
That's still you, Bendis. It's you, still you, Bendis.
Bendis forever!
Yes!
I don't know who you are. I love you.
You're right. You also have 100 issues of Ultimate Spider-Man you're about to read. Bendis is probably the best writer in comic books at the minute.
Okay, well, I will look forward to that too.
The man that fixed Spider-Man for me.
Oh.
And I love Spider-Man. I love me some Spider-Man there.
Well, we hit over 40 minutes anyway, which is our minimum goal for each show.
Yes.
We'll announce that, don't we? So you'll either get 40 minutes when we're trying to fill time, or an hour and a half to 2 hours because we have so much to talk about. But it'll be a range. It'll be between that and that. Not that I'm saying that what you were talking about was time-filling. It was actually very interesting. That had sort of made me more interested in the other comics you gave me. So yeah. I will look forward
to it. There's some good stuff in there. Although Final Crisis is a bit of a head-fuck. Maybe don't read that.
Don't read Final Crisis?
Well, it's not a head-fuck. It's just stupid. And I like Grant Morrison, but... anyway.
All right, well...
That's a goodbye from me.
And a goodbye from him.
Geronimo! And...